Turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, I'll read a part of one verse. That's right after Haggai. Does that help you?
No.
It's right before Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. That makes it easier, don't it? Yeah, it does make it handy. It really does. Zechariah chapter 9. I want to read the first part of verse 12. And I only read this first part for the sake of time this morning. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Now, does anybody know what the title is? Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. There are three areas of importance that I want to bring out this morning. I did not say there are only three areas of importance. I said there are three areas of importance I want to bring out this morning. First of all, it's mainly mentioned in the words. The first word is what? Turn. Just that simple word, turn. That implies to me, I don't even have to go to the Hebrew, I don't have to check out anything like that. When I read that word, turn, it makes me think of this, a change of direction.
Exactly.
It's not just lay ye hold of the stronghold, is it? It's not what it says. It says turn. It means a change. It implies to me a change of direction, a change of mind. A change of mind. And also implies a change of action.
Yes,
turn is an action word. You remember what our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13? He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. But he didn't stop there, did he? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When the scripture says turn, if it's saying it to me, it lets me know that I'm in the wrong place to start with. Right? That's not hard to understand, is it? The impossible part is the turning.
Exactly.
It's the turning. Turn. We read what we are to turn to. Turn to the stronghold. Right? More on that later. But you remember what the Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy, and let me just read that, chapter 2, and verse 25. 2 Timothy 2 and 25, he says, in meekness, talking to those who preach the Word of God mainly, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves.
Yeah.
If God peradventure will give them repentance. So yes, there must be a turning.
Yes, sir.
But before anyone can turn, what has to happen? God has to grant the turning to them.
Amen.
In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure. The if there is not a question as to God's ability, but as to God's willingness to.
Exactly.
That's the question. If God peradventure will give them repentance, but repentance for what?
Yeah.
Most people think of repentance as, well, I'm a drunk, I need to quit being.
Yeah.
Or I'm a dopehead, I need to quit being a dopehead. Or I'm a fornicator, and I need to quit fornicating. All those things are true as well.
Yes, sir.
But here's the main thing, that God will give, if God peradventure will give them repentance, what? to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
And to recover themselves.
Yes.
Do you see both of them there?
Exactly.
If you, I want to put this properly. Those who think they've recovered themselves out of the snare of the devil, but have never acknowledged the truth, have not experienced the repentance God grants.
Exactly.
Because God gives repentance to the acknowledging of the truth first, before one is then enabled to recover themselves from the snare of the devil. Why is this true? Because God made it true. So we read what we're to turn to, but what about from? The very word from lets me know direction, but it's direction from and to. From what? Turn indicates two positions, doesn't it? A former and a latter. A before and an after. And if you don't have a former and a latter, and or a before and an after, you have no relationship to the turning that's here.
Exactly.
I know that in some places, it's probably not in vogue to stand up and actually declare this as the Scripture says it. I ought to just get up and preach a good one of the five points of Calvinism. Talk about here's how these points are true, and this is what the truth is, and just kind of let it lay. But God Almighty says, turn you to the stronghold. That lets me know, if that applies to me, I'm in the wrong place to start with.
Exactly.
And that's what you have to, that's a part of acknowledging the truth.
Yes,
it's not just what you turn to, but what you must turn from. Turn, at least in two things. First, a turn from false religion. John the Baptist even refused to baptize some people.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And he said, you bring forth fruit, meat for repentance, before he would put them in the water.
Exactly.
In modern day language, in other words, show that you really mean business in this thing. If I do it, or you do it, if I turn just because I want to be like other people, then I don't know what turning is.
Exactly.
If I just want to be in vogue, I just want to be accepted.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, if you want to be accepted of this group, you ain't asking much. But you know what I'm saying. Turn from false religion, or to turn from all manner of evil, no matter what it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, even speaking to believers, said, I'm going to have to change my way of speech with you because some of you are conducting yourselves in the wrong way. And if I have to come to you, my way of talking is going to change. Why? Because you haven't turned from fornication. That's what he says. And he lists some other things. Revelation chapter 2, verses 20 through 29, God said of Jezebel, I gave her space to repent. And what? He didn't say I gave her the ability, but he said I gave her space to repent. And what? She repented not. Therefore, I'm going to judge her and every one of her kids. That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's that mean? It means exactly what it says. And there are those who try to make Jezebel some kind of, that's a symbol. It doesn't say that. There was a woman whose name was Jezebel that called herself a prophet and was teaching people to do things they shouldn't do, not to turn to God from idols. So turn. Turn lets, no matter when it's said to an individual, if God says turn, it lets me know I'm in the wrong place. God tells his people, but he said, if you can believe.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're in unbelief.
Exactly.
When God tells us to be patient, why? Because we are impatient.
Exactly.
If he says to pray, why is that so? Because we're prone not to.
Exactly.
If you hear the word turn, it lets you know I'm in the wrong place.
Exactly.
But turn who? Turn you.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Isn't that what it says? Simple enough, right? Turn you. Who does that mean? Well, of course, there are those who'll say, well, that means everybody, without exception. I know it's true in Scripture. No doubt, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
Yes, sir.
Is it not? That's one thing that's true. But here's something else that's also true. But they will not and cannot.
Exactly. That's it.
God commands all men everywhere to repent, but they will not and cannot.
Amen.
That also is true. But this is also true. The third thing, God must give or grant repentance. We've read one passage. There are others as well.
Yes, sir.
All these things are equally true at the same time, period.
Amen.
And I'm not here to philosophize and make them all fit.
Yeah.
That's simply the way it is. But here in this passage, it's turn you. Not turn ye. I want you to think about that. You read yous and yees and thous and those in the Scripture. That, granted, is 1611 English translated here, but they're not all the same Greek word or the same here Hebrew word. They're different for a reason. It's turn you. This is individual.
Yes, sir.
It's not turn ye. It's turn you. Because it doesn't matter if I'm in a group of three or two, or if I'm in a group of a million.
Exactly.
I'm still to turn, no matter what anybody else does.
Exactly, that's it.
Who are the turners? That's the question.
Yeah.
Who is this written to? Well, someone says, well, it's written to Israel. Yeah? Yeah, that's who it's written to.
Yes, sir.
But who is Israel?
Yeah.
Who is Israel?
Exactly.
Well, others say, well, but it's written to the church because the church replaced Israel. That's not true.
Exactly.
But it's still written to the church.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Somebody says, well, it's written to just whoever out there. No, it's turn you. And look at the context. Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. And what's the time frame here?
Yeah.
Everybody loves, I say everybody, but people get enthralled with, let me put it that way, eschatology. Well, here's some eschatology. Verse 9 is, or at least was, when this was being written, was eschatology.
Yeah.
What's it speaking about? Christ's first coming.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Who was to rejoice? The daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh.
Amen.
So it's written to Israel, right? Right.
Yes, sir.
But who is Israel?
Exactly.
Well, but the church is the kingdom. So it must be written to the church. No, the church isn't the kingdom. The church has been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son even now.
Amen.
And she will be perfected one day in the kingdom to come.
Amen.
The Israel of God today, now think about this. The Israel of God today is a part of the church today. Paul's quite clear, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. That didn't become a truth. It has always been the truth.
Amen.
When there was the first Israel,
yeah.
that one man.
Yeah.
And he began to have descendants. Just because they're descendants doesn't mean they're truly the Israel of God.
Exactly.
I know, because I'm premillennial, I'm supposed to make a distinction between the church and Israel. There is a distinction. But there's also a union.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what most premillennialists are sadly leaving out today.
Yeah, you're right.
The Israel of God today is a part of the church today. The church today, who are Gentiles today, have been grafted into the Israel of God today.
That's it.
Why? Because that's what the book says. So let me throw this one out. There is no distinction between the Israel of God and the Church of God. And that's coming from a premillennialist. Why? Because this book says so. I don't have to preach premillennialism is true. I preach the book is true.
Exactly.
All of it. And let the pieces fall where they may. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Who are the turners? There it is. Ye prisoners of hope.
Amen.
Do you have any inkling of what that means this morning? If you do, this was written to you. If you don't, it may not be realized by you, but it may be written to you.
Oh, yeah.
But one day, when God Almighty says to you personally, not just something I read from the book, but when God personally says to you, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoner of hope, you'll know what Zechariah was talking about. What is a prisoner of hope? A prisoner is someone that is shut up.
Exactly.
Locked up.
Yep.
Without ability. Without freedom. Without liberty. God doesn't tell us to look to free will. He says look to where you really are. You're a prisoner. You're a prisoner. Now all men are prisoners. But not all men are prisoners of hope.
Exactly.
Every man is shut up under the curse of the law by nature.
That's right.
But very few find any hope even therein. Not thereby, but therein. Who are these turners? There are people who are shut up to the confident expectation of God showing me blessing. The prisoners have to be busted out, let go, freed. They are not allowed to free themselves. Justice won't allow it. So people shut up. In other words, do you recall and can you still taste? Can you still feel? I'm not talking about just emotion, but I'm talking about an experience. Something you've went through and something you're still going through. I am shut up absolutely and completely to the free and sovereign mercy of God Almighty. If He don't release me, I will not be released. But the hope there is He's promised to release some people.
Amen.
He's promised it. This being shut up to God's favor, being shut up to God's mercy and compassion, this is where the turning turn you.
Yeah.
Not correct your state. Not change your state. But to realize first where you really are. And to realize, to some extent, where we still are.
Exactly.
It's a state of helplessness, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a state of hopelessness. It's a state of powerlessness.
Yeah.
It is total inability to do anything but one thing, hope. That's the ability God gives, the ability to hope. Not wish, but it's a confident expectation of the promise of God. That's the only kind of person that can turn. Turn you to the stronghold, who? Ye prisoners of hope.
Amen.
And let me say again, because I don't want anyone to misunderstand, because I don't say it clear enough. This is not something that simply happens to you and then it's all past. But it's something that will be a constant part of your journey in this world, and that is hope, 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 hope. Because that's all we really have. It's hope. Even the creation is smarter than depraved men. Because Scripture says that even creation groans and travails together even until now. But yet man doesn't groan. He doesn't labor. He doesn't hope in God. He says, God, here's what I'll do for you. At best.
Yeah.
At best. He says, God, I'll do this for you. And all he is doing is offering before God his or her filthy rags.
Exactly.
Where the prophet of old said that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now let me give some illustrations of this. What's it? Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Turn to, what is it? 1 Samuel. Got a few minutes left here. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now I remember Scott Richardson saying something along this line years ago on a tape. There are many promises in the Word of God. Many. But those promises are made to specific people. Every promise is made to specific people. No matter what it is. Every promise is made to specific people. Now what he said, and I'll have to paraphrase it, because I haven't heard it for a long time. I don't even have the tape now, probably. But he says, unless you fit the condition of the person to whom the promise is made, then the promise is not made to you. You don't have any right to claim it.
Exactly.
Now look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and just one verse, verse 8. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. Now many people can kind of relate to that. Oh yeah, I'm poor.
Yeah.
There are people today that are proud about their poverty.
Yeah.
You know, as though that is some kind of personal credit before God. You know, there are going to be a lot of poor people die and end up in the lake of fire.
That's true.
So poverty is no automatic end.
No.
But yes, is what? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. And what? And lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill.
Yeah.
You sit on a crap pile.
That's it.
That's where we're at.
Exactly.
And look, to set them among princes. So there's a removal by God from one place to another.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
And this glorious place to which we are moved is to set among what? Princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory.
Amen.
But who is this promise made to? Who does he do this for?
Yeah.
People sitting on the crap heap. In other words, that's what I am.
Yep.
A pile.
Yep.
And you can take that any way you want.
Exactly.
That's where I live.
Yeah.
That's not just where I found... Joe, that's not where I accidentally ran into one day.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I live, on the dung heap.
Exactly.
That's my home. That's my abode. That's my condition. That's my state. And those are the ones that he lifts up and sets among princes and kings. Amen. Now, if you don't know you're on the dung heap, then the promise ain't to you.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
If you say, but I'm not on a dung heap, then fine. Stay where you're at. The problem is, you're so depraved, you don't even know where you really are. But this is for people who know where they are. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Here's another one, Matthew chapter 11. These are our Lord's words. And you know these, this is nothing new. Matthew chapter 11. I used to hear it all the time. Come unto me. That's what Christ said, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
But who does he say it to? All. And notice the ye's in italics.
Yeah.
Come unto me, all that labor and what? And are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. That Amen. Lets me know a few things. One, I don't have any rest Amen. Apart from what he gives.
Exactly.
If you're at peace, this ain't for you.
Exactly. That's it.
If you're not a prisoner, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, the first part, it's not for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now there are even some will say, well, okay, I like that.
Yeah.
But what kind of rest is it?
Yeah.
It's a rest of bond service.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's not a rest of laziness.
Exactly.
It's not a rest of incomplacency.
Yeah.
It's not a rest of I'm free, I'll do whatever I want. He says, no, you take my yoke upon you.
Amen.
Like an ox that the owner yokes. You're mine.
Yeah.
And you'll go where I say you go.
Yes, sir.
You stop when I pull back. You giddy up when I say giddy up.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of people want rest, but they don't want the yoke.
That's right.
This is to people who are in need of rest. But don't mind being yoked.
Yeah.
I thank God I'm yoked.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you wish you'd be rather be something else, you actually are something else. You just don't know it.
Exactly.
Because God's people love the yoke.
Yep. Right.
That's right. Take, and notice here, take my yoke upon you. Mason, there is a willingness here. A consciousness here to do this. Even I might say, a joy and a happiness in taking the yoke.
Yes, sir.
Take my yoke upon you and learn how you ought to live. Is that what it says? No, learn of me.
Amen.
When you're busy learning of him, everything else starts to fall into place.
That's true.
Even when you screw up,
You
find out you're glad to be able to come back.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Why? Because my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. So if you would rather be under or in another something else or in another place, you actually already are. You just don't know it. To be a prisoner of hope doesn't mean I'm released from hope. It means I'm shut up to hope.
Amen.
You see, there's a lot of people that want to talk about liberty in Christ.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about what they're liberated to do.
Yeah.
And that's true. There's something there. But there are some that take that liberty too far. Paul said, you don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. That is not God's way.
That's right.
The glory is what we're liberated from.
Yeah.
That's the glory.
You're right.
Because let me tell you, what we need to be liberated from is what we carry with us all of our lives on this side of glory. The flesh. The flesh.
You're right.
This liberty is not an absolute liberty yet. It one is a judicial liberty now. I am freed in Christ Jesus. But I still have all and every bit of the depravity and the corruption I had outside of Jesus Christ. And I have to, combat that every day of my journey. So much so, he says, mortify this and that.
Yes, sir.
Now, he doesn't say mortify the flesh. You know why? Because you can't.
Yeah, right.
But you can mortify the appendages of it. Well, I just can't help myself. You're right. But why aren't you a prisoner of hope?
Exactly.
Huh? Well, I'm just so corrupt. And I kind of like it too.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a difference between that and, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I'm corrupt, but I hate it. What I used to love, I now hate. What I used to hate, I now love.
Yes, sir.
A prisoner of hope. Romans chapter 5. Remember, same thing. Here's promises made, but it's made to specific people. Romans chapter 5. Now think about it. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength. Is that where you find yourself? Without strength. In due time, Christ died for thee who? The ungodly.
Amen.
I can relate to that.
Exactly.
I'm not boasting in that,
nope.
But I can relate to that. That's me.
Yeah.
Both of those are me.
Yeah.
I'm not just weak, Joe.
Yeah.
I am without strength.
Amen.
That means you got none.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we got free will. No, you got none.
Amen.
Free will is a lie.
Exactly.
Free will is not true. We ought not even speak to people what your free will. No, your will is as depraved as you are.
Amen.
Your heart is depraved as you are.
Amen. That's it.
Well, the devil made me do it. No, you did it and then blamed it on the devil. That's what we do. We do it, then we try to blame it on the devil. Joe, you're right. It's my unbelief. My unbelief. No, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. And I'm still that by nature. You see, a man, a woman, young or old, and I don't care how young or old, there are no exceptions. Scripture does not teach the age of accountability. I was taught that since I was a little fella.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got to be a little bit bigger fella, I was told I came to the age of accountability. Nobody could tell me when that was. Nobody could tell me when it actually mattered. I guess you know why? Because they could hold that over me all my life. You know when you're accountable? Before you were ever born. That's when you were accountable. We were accountable when Adam lived in that garden in uprightness. And we fell in him. We were accountable then.
Yeah.
And we fell in him.
Yes, sir.
We sinned in him. And we died in him.
That's right.
And we're born into that state. No, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Do you find yourself in that state?
Yeah. That's it.
Then turn you to the stronghold.
Amen.
You prisoner of hope. A man or a woman, young or old, only turn to something from something they consider inferior.
Yeah.
Huh?
You're right.
That's why people don't turn
exactly.
From one thing to another.
Yeah.
Or, we could say, to one thing from another. Why? You only turn to what you think is better.
That's right.
If you do the opposite, you're nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
You need pills.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
maybe a fifth of scotch. I don't know. That will only be temporary, though. You have to deal with the effects the next morning. But you understand what I'm saying? You know, even, Mason, even nature itself, and in nature, we don't turn to the worst thing. We turn to what we think's better.
Exactly.
Now, we may be wrong about what's better.
Yeah.
But we turn to what we think is better.
Exactly.
It's just the way it is. And people will not and cannot turn because they do not consider the third point as superior, the stronghold. Because that's what you turn to.
Yeah.
Right? You're in a certain place. And you're shut up there. But you're still, but now there's something different. Yeah, you're there, but you're a prisoner of hope. What do you turn to?
Yeah.
The stronghold.
Yeah.
Right? What is the stronghold? I don't have to make it up. It's in the text. The king is coming. Who owns the stronghold?
Yeah.
Who is the stronghold?
Amen. That's it.
The king is. And let me tell you something, he was born king.
Amen.
He didn't come to be king, and the Jews wouldn't let him be king, so he postponed it, but he's going to be the king later. He was born king, he is king, he's always been the king.
Amen.
That's my premillennialism.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Because that's just the facts.
Yeah.
Those men were called wise men for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they said, where is him that was born king?
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
What's that really mean? It means everything.
Yeah.
King of this, king of everything. He's king.
Amen.
And he's the stronghold.
Yes, sir.
If you've turned to anything else other than the stronghold, you haven't turned according to Zechariah 9 verse 12. If you haven't turned to the stronghold, I don't care how Calvinistic you are, if you've not turned to the stronghold, you are not a prisoner of hope, because a prisoner of hope has no place else to go but the stronghold.
Amen. That's it.
Somebody says that's symbolical language. Yeah, you're right. It's symbolical language.
Amen.
But that symbol has a reality behind it.
Yes,
and that
sir.
Symbol is a person.
Yeah.
It's a person. Look at it. We have the New Testament equivalent of this. Hebrews chapter 6. By the way, which is a chapter that talks about repentance.
Yeah.
And a group of folks that can't do it again.
Yeah.
It's impossible to renew them unto repentance. I'm not even going into that this morning. But look at what he says here as he goes on through this. Verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto who? Everybody. No exceptions. No. Who? The heirs of promise. The prisoners of hope.
Amen.
That's what he talked about.
Yeah.
A promise is something somebody promises or is guaranteed they're going to give you what? Later.
Yeah.
That's hope.
Yes, sir.
Right? Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. That is, God promised it, and then God says, I swear I'll do it.
Yes, sir. That's it.
That's one of the words it actually uses.
Yeah.
Now, I know most swearing we think of is probably something you ought not do, or I ought not do, but God has the right to swear.
Yes, sir.
He says, I promise to do this, and I swear upon myself I'll do it. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. What things? The promise and the oath. Look, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have what? Strong consolation.
Yes.
Who have what? First of all, it fled.
Amen.
Fled. If your believing didn't have a fleeing with it, you didn't believe by the grace of God. You believed some other way. Grace. And faith, a God-given faith, causes you to turn. It causes you to flee. That's the same. David, flee means two things. There's two different places here. Where I was and where I'm to be going.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You don't flee like this. You flee by going that way or that way. You stand here and run all day long, you ain't going to get away.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You could play that Nintendo. When you get on that mat, that little man on the screen might have been going somewhere, but where were you? You were right there on that mat when you got done.
Exactly.
Flee. Flee. Who have fled, what? For refuge. That lets me know there's trouble all around. And most of the trouble's where?
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Right here. You see, if I was perfect, you couldn't bother me no more.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
But I would irritate the living daylights out of you.
Exactly.
Well, how do I know that? Look at Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But yet fled for refuge. What? To lay hold of what? The hope that is set before us. But look, which we have. The hope's okay. But that's what he's talking about. Which hope we have, what? As an anchor of the soul.
Amen.
Both sure and steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus.
Amen.
There's the stronghold. John chapter 3, our Lord, that our Lord said, and I know, everybody loves John 3:16. They love it for the wrong reasons. But about just about everybody loves John 3:16. They rarely ever quote, starting in verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already.
Amen.
But he said, here's the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Who's the light?
Yeah.
He is. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness not more than, rather than light. Remember, you turn to what you think is superior.
Exactly.
Don't you?
Yes, sir.
Why do people turn to drugs? Because they think that's superior to sobriety. Why do people turn to stealing and thieving? Because they think that's superior to having to work for it and get it. By honest labor, right?
Oh, yeah.
We turn to what we think's better. Christ is superior, but not everybody sees him as such.
Exactly.
The prisoner of hope does, though.
Yes.
People stay where they are because they think where they are is better.
Yep.
No matter where they are. Lost, saved, elect, reprobate, converted or not. If I am where I am and I purpose, I choose, I will to stay here, why is that? I want to stay here. I think that's best.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
People stay where they are because they think where they are is better to them. Those who turn to the stronghold also of necessity. And as simple, a simple, unassailable rule must also be turning from something else.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. This is the summary. I'm ending up now. Those who turn to also turn from.
Yes.
A prisoner of hope will turn, and in turning will find their hope realized. But only realized as they turn to the stronghold.
Yes.
Why? Because God promised it and God swore on it.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He said, you flee to the refuge.
Yeah.
God swore on it, didn't he?
Exactly.
Here's the question, can you flee?
Yeah.
Have you fled? And are you still fleeing?
Exactly.
Because once you start that way, you may fall flat on your face, but you never get up and come back here.
That's right.
To the beginning. You keep going. Once you are raised up, you keep going that way.
That's it.
You ever turn around and come back this way? That's absolute unbelief. Not just the presence of unbelief, Joe, with belief. That's absolute unbelief.
That's it.
As Tim James once said, everything prior to faith was unbelief. Everything prior to faith was unbelief.
Yes, sir.
But even after faith, everything but faith is unbelief.
That's true.
So that's why we got to continue to turn.
Yeah.
Continue to flee. Why? Because where we are by nature, and we're still there by nature, is never, ever better.
Yeah.
Is it? The stronghold's always the best. And if you've ever been to it once, you know that.
Yeah, you're right.
And if you ever find yourself, David, slipping away from it, once you come to yourself, you'll still know the stronghold's best. I'll run there.
Yeah, that's it.
Anything else, you're not a part of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12. You're not a daughter of Zion, and neither have you been grafted into Zion.
That's it.
But if you're a daughter of Zion, or you've been grafted into Zion, you'll hope in God's promises, and you'll flee to Christ.
Amen.
You won't be able to help yourself. Father, may these words, not my words, but your words, may they encourage us. And may you, by your Spirit, actually enable us. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.